Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, a little louder please, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Govinda. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through South India, he chanted this. Krishna, 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 Rakshama, Krishna, 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 Rakshama, Krishna, 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 Paima, Krishna, 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 Paima, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama, one more time, please. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshama. Please, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Paima. Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Krishna Kesava, Bhai Man.
Krishna Kesava,
Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada. Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Radha Kanaya Lala, Radha Kanaya Lala, Siddhe.
Hare Krishna.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Kauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Satharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, I affectionately welcome all of you for this third session on the 8 prayers of Rupa Goswami to the holy name. In this session, I hope to give you a deeper understanding of the holy name, coupled or let us say associated with good experience in your practice. So what we will do is we will now discuss the third verse. It will not be so long. Then I will give you a practical exercise in chanting Kirtan. And then I would like to see if you have any questions, either related to what you will hear now, or if not, on other subjects which relate to your own chanting. So let me just summarize where we were. In the beginning of these 8 verses, Srila Rupa Goswami has addressed the holy name as a person, and it becomes very clear that he does so, because he says, your lotus feet, and name has no lotus feet, no? It is a person who has lotus feet. And in the Sanskrit tradition, when you greet someone, you will be very shy to them and ask, where have your lotus feet come from? And Ananda Chaitanya will say, Oberwil, or where have your lotus feet come from? What? Vrindavan. This is Ananda Chaitanya. My lotus feet, I don't have lotus feet, but I have come from Belgium. So you don't address a person like calling the name. Out of respect, you will say, Dauji Charan. No, Dauji Charan, where have your lotus feet come from? And you will give your last location where you came from. So with this, of course, we mean a person, no? When we say that, ask someone, where have your lotus feet traveled from? And we refer to a person. So this is a traditional address in Sanskrit, that you are a person, my dear holy name, and you are worshipped really as the best of persons by the Upanishads, the wisdom texts of the Vedic scriptures, in an arati, at the place of Lord Brahma, the highest place in the universe. That is to say, in poetic terms, you are the highest sadhana, which is explained in the Vedic scriptures. In the second text, Rupa Goswami joyously explains, you have appeared for the pleasure of the ordinary people and also your own people in the form of syllables. That's why we put in our tradition sometimes the syllables in front of us while we chant. This is called the Nama Brahman, and to look at the different syllables as you chant means you are worshipping really the form of the Lord, who has not come in a fish incarnation, not in a half man, half lion incarnation, but in the incarnation of syllables. Why are you giving pleasure? Well, you take away the miseries of the conditioned soul, which include the subtle mental miseries, which I think some of us know very well, anxieties, feeling not well, etc. Good. Why don't we just do this? Chant the holy name by looking at the syllables. I know you don't know Sanskrit. I also don't know Sanskrit, so you have to be extremely attentive. What could the first thing mean? You know everything. So in this way, since you know already the beginning, it will not be difficult. So let us just do this, which is done in tradition, that you fix your gaze on just the syllables. Don't look at the Pfirsich, and not at the apple, and not at the banana, and even not that at the deities. It will be a nice exercise. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Three times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Look. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Much more focus in the eyes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Wonderful. I like to always repeat, when you focus your eyes on one spot, the mind becomes much more centered. In Indian dance knowledge, it is said, wherever the body moves, the eyes follow, and where the eyes move, there
the mind also moves. So this is very, these are simple yogic things which play into the Vaishnav culture and which are used there. You focus your gaze on one point and do not let it wander anywhere else. In yogic meditations, it's here, at the tip of the nose, like this. In Vaishnava, it's either the deities or the holy name who took on the form of syllables as to give pleasure. Now the third verse comes. The third verse picks up where the second verse left. It is sung in a certain meter that is Shikarini. Shikarini is a feminine name denoting a beautiful hill. What happens when you stand on the hill? You see everything. Today Tushta and Gokrishna were on top of the mountain and they saw us filming at the riverbank. No, they had the oversight. We didn't see them. We only saw a river, the river and many nice things around, but they had the oversight and they could see. So this verse is purposely taken as a Shikarini melody because it gives us a very good overview about the holy name. Can I try to chant this melody for your pleasure? Good. Wait a minute, I'm not so good as Bada Hari, so I have to a little time. Yes, now it comes. Yad abaso pyudyan kavalita bhavadvanta vibhavo trishantat vandanam apidishati bhakti pranayinim janastasyo datam jagati bhagavana matarane kritite nirvaktum kaiha mahimanam prabhavati. And the verse says, O Harinam, we have heard that the slight utterance or the reflection of your name, the Namabhasa, does burn our sinful reactions. But it goes much further. It awakens bhakti for Krishna, whose name is chanted. This is explained in this beautiful verse. Please listen. I know it's hot. I know you are tired. I know most of you are digesting the pasta. But here is the verse for you. It also wants to be digested by your intelligence. O son of the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are like a son. Which good person in this world is able to praise the exalted glory of your lordship, whose mere reflection destroys the powerful darkness of spiritual ignorance due to material existence and grants us a vision about pure devotional service even to those blind to the truths of spiritual existence. I admit the English sounds highly philosophical, and let me tell it in simple words. Rupa Goswami says, you're like the sun. When the sun rises by its rays, darkness goes and brightness comes. In the same way, when someone chants you, not only does he get free from his karmic bondage, but, my dear holy name, he gets inspired
about all kinds of devotional services which blossom in his heart. And he then becomes totally able, although he was before blind to spiritual truth, to directly experience Krishna through bhakti. Let's say it simple. When you sit in the kirtan and chant, two things are taking place. You become a little, you become removed from your karma. Do you sometimes feel after chanting a few hours that you are in a different space? Have you felt that? You feel like it's sometimes even difficult to continue to talk about the same things we used to talk, like Apple computers maybe and new applications and so on. I've seen you, one becomes a little, man fühlt sich merkwürdig in seiner Haut. How to translate this? One feels a little awkward sometimes. But this means your old karma, what your program is taken away from you. It's good. The second, much more nicer thing is you become inspired for all, in all kinds of devotional service. I saw this yesterday towards the end of the kirtan, which we had. All of you spontaneously came on your feet and danced for the pleasure of Krishna. Have you noted yesterday in the evening? And it was not muscle dancing where you strain your muscle, but it came from inside. No one had to tell you. No one had to force you. Sometimes I have seen devotees in the kirtan, they go and grab other people who are maybe unwilling and they almost force them to dance. I will not comment on that. That is something that is also there. But it's better, I think we all agree, when we rise spontaneously because we feel deeply inspired. This is because the holy name gives us knowledge of devotional service, and dancing for Krishna is pada sevana. You use your legs, your feet in the service of the Lord. No, very, very nice. I've seen yesterday. I was so happy. I was in a safe corner, so I could see you all very nicely do this. Why is this so? Why does the holy name take away karma and inspire bhakti? For this, I have to introduce you to an important concept which inspires me personally to chant and recommend chanting for all others. It is that the holy name has a vastu shakti. What's that? That's a potency or power which resides in a thing. For instance, time has a shakti to move all things, the universes, your body, you know, aging is moved and controlled by time. Time has an inherent power. You may know time or not know time. Time works on everyone. Or another example which Srila Prabhupada often used, fire. Fire has an inherent potency. You may understand it like a scholar, you know, or you may not understand it like a child. It will burn in both cases. So in the same way, the holy name has an inborn power. It can move you despite of you. You may be, like I always feel, not qualified to chant in kirtan because I don't have a good voice. Mr. Frog, I call myself. Also, I never felt very qualified to give lectures to a critical audience. It's easy for devotees because they will not slaughter you. But for a critical audience, academic audience, you have to be a little bit, you have to know your subjects very deep. So, but I have seen when I personally chant, the chanting makes me qualified. I like to give this example from where we live. We live a little outside of Berlin, and we have a train station in our place. So when the train comes on the platform, you only have to do one thing, nothing more. You have to get into the train, and then the train takes you and moves you on by its own strength, not your strength. So when the chanting is there, my dear devotees, when the holy name is there, all you have to do is to absorb yourself, to immerse yourself in the sound vibration. And then the sound will move you despite yourself. You may be critical, you may be attached, you may be sleepy, you may be this and that, but the holy name, because it has an inherent shakti or vastu shakti, will move you on its own. This is expressed in the last heavy philosophical verse for today, in the Rig Veda. Wow, Rig Veda.
156:3. Mahaste Vishnu Sumatim Bhajamahe. O Supreme Lord Vishnu, your name is spiritual in nature. It has power in itself. Thus, even though we only understand a small fraction of its glory, we are not very intelligent. By merely repeating its syllables, we attain a refined intelligence capable of understanding the Lord. So this verse says, you have a power inside, like the sun has the power of rays inside, light. You have also the power of illuminating our hearts so that we get the intelligence to understand Krishna. My dear devotees, I have since more than 20 years now, I have gone every autumn to Vrindavan for 1.5 months. For 1 month I only chant, nothing else. I'm sometimes surrounded with devotees of other spiritual lineages who do other sadhanas. And sometimes I meet these devotees and they talk to me about their experiences in their spiritual practice. And I always tell them, I'm so glad that you make these deep experiences. But let me tell you my path. I chant the holy name from morning till evening, and I feel how the holy name, due to its own power of illumination, illumines my darkened heart, and I understand so many things about Krishna. By Krishna's mercy, it's a simple path given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they say, well, but shouldn't you consider this point and that point? And I always say to them, my dear devotees, as I chant, I feel naturally rising within me the knowledge how I should proceed. Yes, I read then this book. I feel inspired to consider this
more deeply, but the holy name guides me. And this is the safe process where you don't run into the danger of speculating about your spiritual identity or so on. It's not theoretical knowledge, it is very practical knowledge. And all devotees whom I have met so far say, well, you have this faith that is very nice for you, and we wish you all the best on your path. And we recognize this is a path given in the Vedas. It is very powerful. Yes, I want to tell you, don't worry about so many questions which come up. Just worry whether or not you're chanting properly with absorption, and think how you can increase it. And then the holy name, by its own power, will give you what you need to know. It will shine the light on your path and tell you. And you will then feel in your heart this inspiration, that inspiration. And as you follow these inspirations, you will see, wow, it seems that Krishna is behind it because he responds in kind to this. Holy name with the inherent Shakti. I want to now end this theoretical part with one little illustration and story. There was once a great devotee of Lord Ram. I think some of you know his name, Tulsidas. Ooh, Tulsidas. And Tulsidas had read a verse in the Padma Purana. Chadvaraste kalo bhavya yutkale purushottamat. In the age of Kali, all the four Vaishnav disciplic successions will appear in Orisha from the Supreme Lord Purushottam Jagannath. So he was a devotee of Lord Ram. He was not exactly like worshipping Radha and Krishna, he worshipped Sita Ram. And he had heard, well, everything comes in this age from Utkal on Purushottam Dham, that this is Jagannath Puri, where the Lord resides on the blue hill. Let me go there. I can find my Ram. My Ram has disappeared millions of years, but in the Shastra it says he is there. So he went with high expectations. He entered the temple. He came to the altar, and whom does he see? Jagannath! Who's in Jagannath Puri? Jagannath, yes. Oh, you are so much digesting, Prabhus. All the blood is in the stomach. This is Jagannath, in case you have forgotten. On the right side, no? So he saw Jagannath, and next to him, Subhadra, and then Balaram. And they looked at him with these big, big eyes, boom, unblinking. That is not my Lord Ram. My Ram is green. He has not these huge eyes. he has a bow. And Tulsida said, but in the Shastras it said that the Lord is in Puri. The Lord is Jagannath. Sorry, is Ram. So in great disappointment and confusion, he left and went to a little village 5 kilometers away from Jagannath Puri. He went in the midst of the evening, and when he arrived, it was already getting night and it was dark, and he could only find one tree, and he was getting ready to rest. He was hungry and he could not rest. He was just distressed. But during this time, Lady Subhadra, she must be between Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Now, Jagannath and Baladev. Subhadra said to Jagannath, I'm disappointed with you.
Why? Said Jagannath.
It was divine conversation. I'm disappointed because you have said that anyone who comes to your place gets your Mahaprasad. And Tulsi came, good devotee, he didn't even eat. Also, I'm disappointed in you that you have not shown mercy to Tulsi. You must correct it, otherwise I will leave.
When the sister says like this, then the elder brother,
take care. So at that time, a beautiful Brahmin boy manifested from Lord Jagannath. He went to the kitchen, he took the golden plate and added very nice items, food items on there. So as Tulsi was lying under the banyan tree trying to sleep, but he was very hungry, all of a sudden he hears the voice of, hey, is Tulsi here? Tulsi said, who's calling me? It's me. I'm just a Brahmin boy from the temple. I'm bringing something to eat for you. And he brought him this huge golden plate. Who sent you? Said Tulsi. Lord Ram sent me. He said, you should bring back the plate when you're finished. And this time you should look a little bit better. He's on the altar waiting for you. So Tulsi couldn't believe his eyes, because after saying this, the Brahmin boy vanished. There was only this golden plate before him, and he knew it was not a dream. There was prasadam. So he transferred it on some banana leaves or something and ate like a hungry wolf. He went to bed and slept, and in the morning, very early, he took his bath and went back to the temple with the golden plate. He went into the temple. He moved forward. He looked, and there on the altar, my dear devotees, please don't have even a mustard seed of doubt in your heart. On the altar, he saw his Lord with a greenish complexion, with a merciful smile, with a bow in his left hand, and his right hand was raised in a gesture of blessing. Next to him, he saw Mother Sita, and next to Mother Sita, Lakshman. And Tulsi said, but I looked already, and it was not this form. Then he heard in his heart the answer, you didn't look good enough. This is a quality of Krishna, that he can reciprocate which each single one of his devotee in the manner in which the devotee approaches him. The Chaitanya Bhagavat describes this. Ye rupa chintye dase se rupa hoya. According to the conception of the devotee, as of the Lord manifests himself. And the same thing happens when the Lord appears in the form of syllables. When you chant the holy name repeatedly, that Lord of your heart, where you are meant to find your shelter, will respond to you and will enliven your heart with bhakti. Therefore, chanting is for everyone, for the Ram Bhakta, for the Krishna Bhakta, for the Radha Bhakta. The chanting is able to have the holy name is able to have with each one of you his a very satisfying relationship. Not all human beings can have a satisfying relationship. Sometimes you find out after 5 years of marriage that you cannot have a satisfying relationship with the partner. But Krishna can just adopt in that way in which you require his mercy and take care of you. When chanting, you might not always end up with a huge golden plate with Mahaprasadam, but you will get what this verse talks about. Knowledge in bhakti, just like you will get brightness in your eyes when the sun arises. This is the meaning of this verse, which is sung in the Shikarini meter, a feminine name denoting a beautiful hill. This needs to be understood when chanting. This is the third verse, my dear devotees, and we will end our little seminar here. We will not. Tomorrow is an exceptional day. I think there is a session in the morning. Tomorrow, a group of highly talented Gandhava musicians will appear here, and we will produce something extraordinary. We will talk about how Krishna comes home and meets all his devotees. It will be very, very beautiful, very mind-capturing. Make sure you are there. There will be sitar instruments and everything, but first class kata. This invitation is there. You can come for free. All expenses are covered. Hare Krishna. So, you are laughing. That means you were understanding the last sentence. I'm sorry, I can't leave it. So, I want to now lead you to an absorbed experience of the chanting. It will not be a long thing, it will be a short thing, where you please can meditate about the holy name in your own way. I just need to do a few things. Yes. Good. This is clear. Ja, also am Anfang. Ne? So. We will do a little centering experience in the beginning. Exercise. Sometimes devotees ask me, why do you do these meditations? And want to say to you, see the point under which many of us suffer is that our thoughts are really spread out through various subjects. I know those of you who have children might with one part of their thought think, oh, hopefully everything is going all right with the children, and you listen a little outside that they don't fall in the swimming pool and something inauspicious happens to them, or you think you're in a mood, you're not so happy, it's too intense, too many people. The thoughts are spread out, and the simplest way to bring them back is to just bring them to what is there at the present moment, and this is your body with which you sit. So therefore, we do these centering examples. The idea is to focus the mind and bring the mind back. And then we go into breathing. The breathing is when the breath is calm, the mind calms down more. When the breath is, the mind is flickering. These are simple, simple things which in the Hari Bhakti Vilas are taught. They say before chanting the Gayatri, one must do these things, especially the pranayama, and the ratio is given how many breath in. I know we have not been taught this in a systematic way. Therefore, it's a very simplified version which I bring to your attention, where the principles are taken and you will see the effect. But we will do it very fast, so that you will be quickly coming to what you are accustomed to, that is the chanting of the holy name. So please sit as Prabhupada would recommend. Sit tall. You can bring your shoulders a little back. See what I do? Bring the shoulders to the ears and then open the chest, because then you can breathe, the oxygen can go. Good, very good. Some of you who are more visual, imagine as a rope pulls you to the bed. Is it the ceiling? You want to be aligned, one line. Spine and head, not head somewhere here. Zana, not like this. Good. All of us, let us take a deep exhale. And then take in slow and deep breath. Whenever you exhale, exhale deeply. And in, I don't hear you breathing. You are not yet breathing. Our aim is to become relaxed and alert. While sitting, look in front of you, maybe to an imaginary point, just 1 meter away, and relax your gaze. Good. Continue to breathe softly. Shift your focus to the heart. Imagine a sun with a radiance there. You might like to close your eyes now, because then you see more. Whenever you breathe in, that ball or sun of energy becomes a little bigger. When you breathe out, it becomes a little smaller. Let everything in your life slowly and gently disappear. Your various thoughts, when they come up, just let them pass like clouds. Plans, things that occupy your mind at the moment, let them completely slip away. Think, I'm now absolutely alone. There's no one and nothing in my environment. I have no memories, no thoughts, just me and my breath. let me concentrate on my heart space. This is where I am, the eternal spiritual soul, part of Radha and Krishna. It is my misfortune that I have been absent from that relationship and instead been in so many other distracting relationships, helplessly I've identified with one material body after another and had one dream life after another. But now my fortune has turned. I met Srila Prabhupada through his books and his followers, and I've learned from him about my actual identity. I'm actually a pure spirit soul. I'm a resident of the spiritual world, the kingdom of love. I'm an individual who's completely separate from the gross and subtle body. I have been inspired to take up the path of eternal loving service to their lordships Radha and Krishna. I will no longer ever be alone. I know that there is only Radha and Krishna, no one else. As we think about our relationship, we can see in our mind's eye a picture of Radha and Krishna, our favorite painting or deities, and sing to them. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One last time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. It is a great pleasure to chant with you, to feel actually also, I could only say, waves of devotion emanating from you as the audience. At the beginning of his book on bhakti, Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami distinguishes between two types of devotees. One devotee needs to be, as a new devotee, he needs to be convinced of Krishna's existence by a lot of philosophy, arguments, truths that are revealed. Then he comes to the second type of devotee. It's a devotee who has already accepted Krishna. He does not now need so much philosophy because he is convinced. However, what he needs is something that's too early to explain to the first devotee. He needs something that relishes his relationship with Krishna. He needs something to hear about Krishna. How do I relate to Krishna? And therefore, I think for such devotees, more specific knowledge on chanting, and listen to this, more specific knowledge about Krishna's pastimes is really absolutely important. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he describes so nicely. He says, Hari Kirtan must go hand in hand with Hari Katha. Otherwise, it is like worshipping Krishna without Radha. Yes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati revealed that Hari Katha is the Swarup Shakti of Hari Nam. It means for the chanting of the holy name, you need to, it's connected to hear about Krishna. And that we want to do tomorrow, starting at 11 o'clock, with the special Hari Katha Leela Band. It is in the formation stage at the moment, but it will be ready tomorrow. It will be ready. So, yes. So, both are required. So, I want to end here. I thank you. You were a fantastic audience. I could hear when you were chanting. I want to see, do you have any questions regarding to what you have heard or other questions that relate to the practice of chanting or questions in general, whatever. We are ready for you. I'm sorry? Yes, please ask it. What is your good name? Lokapavini. Wonderful. Yes. Yeah.
So I found myself in the last 2 months in a circle of very bad chanting.
Yeah. Especially jhana. And I don't know how to get out of it. And I would like to know how can I still focus even though I'm tired. Yeah. So nice. You must be living in a temple, isn't it?
But I
go to temple. To go to a temple, yeah. Too many obligations, and then you're tired when you come to chanting. Lokapavini, this is my constant problem when I give japa retreats. Devotees are so exhausted and tired, and I don't know, should I stand them on the head so that they wake up? And can the moment something relieving, relaxing comes, they are all melting like cream on the floor. I want to tell you something which happened when Prabhupada was with us. He was in Los Angeles in the temple, and he would always in the morning see the deities in the darshan. And then he would walk over to the place where there was a nice basong with the bathing water, we call it Charanamrita, of Lord Krishna. It is usually yogurt, water, honey, and it's very sweet. It awakens all your senses. So Prabhupada took respectfully 3 drops of Charanamrita on his in his palm and started to drink it and made a face. And he said, who has put salt in the Charanamrita? So it was a young bhakti, young devotee, maybe like you, who was in charge of taking the water from the altar and then adding either sugar or honey or yogurt or, you know, and preparing the Charanamrita bowl. And she was trembling. You know, when Prabhupada was angry, you just wanted to disappear and be best 1,000 kilometers away from him. You know, he was not angry because of himself, but he was angry because he felt Krishna was not treated nicely. That was versalzen, you know, totally salty. So then the Mataji disappeared. She ran out of the temple. She had been so tired that she had put salt in instead of sugar or honey. So the manager of the temple, the temple president, spoke with her, and next morning he came to Prabhupada and said, this is a poor little Mataji, very nice character and good. She says she was so tired, she put by mistake the salt in where sugar and honey should be there. And she says she's also so overworked that she cannot chant her rounds. And Prabhupada then, he saw there was a major problem. That it was thought, like we Westerners think, only practical work is valuable to Krishna, and everything should come second place. But do you know, chanting is our most important work. So you need to I have also this problem. I have such a full schedule that I cannot sleep enough, and then I'm tired for chanting. And when I see this, I just rest whatever I need to. I mean, I check the schedule so that I do not rest at times when I'm supposed to give a lecture or meet and so on. But then I take the rest, and I think it is necessary for each one of us. You need to have a little time management of your day, okay? Chanting must be good and possible. So all the other things you arrange around that. And do you know what you will find out? You have more time in the end. It sounds, don't ask me how, human reason fails to understand this. But when your spiritual life is in place, you have more time and everything works better. I think it has to do because you're much joyful and fresh and everything. But this is, Prabhupada at that time said she must sleep longer, and this Mataji, you know, who put the salt, and she should not be overburdened, and so on. Srila Prabhupada used to say, health comes first, then comes sadhana, and then comes seva. All of you understand? Health first, then sadhana means spiritual practice, and then seva, our service. That is the success. You know, chanting prepares you for your eternal life. Everything else will go. Everything else. You will even leave your beads behind. The books which you read, you won't take them with you. The position which you have in this life, you may be unmarried or married, or you may have this responsibility, all is left behind. What you take with you is whatever taste you have obtained in chanting. What you take with you is whatever insight you have reached in this human form of life. And also, what you take with you is not your position, but whatever service you have rendered in a genuine way. We sometimes have the values wrong, and that makes our life a little topsy-turvy. Good. Anyone else? Pujarini. Hare Krishna. Yeah, for sure the next summer camp in 1 year. For sure. It may be, nowadays so much as, maybe I should do an online presentation where I cover them, because they're so, it's so nice to hear, isn't it? You begin to say, my God, I didn't know that all this is in the chanting. But I have felt a little experience I have, and this experience tells me that this must be true, no? So, let me think about it. If I put it on the internet, we will let you know. Gaur Krishna has your WhatsApp number. Oh, we are quite advanced here in technology. Dobro. Good. Anyone else at the end? Madan Mohan.
I hope you're not being in an uncomfortable position, but you were sharing a story day before yesterday, which you didn't end.
Which I did not end.
Story or experience.
Krishna. My dear devotees, there is something. I can tell the story, but it will be different from what you think. I have made a certain experience where I believe that mercy from Srimati Radharani was given to me. Now there is a principle on spiritual experience. Spiritual experience is highly personal and therefore a highly subjective thing, and it is not meant to be shared with a large audience. It is, you can understand it a little bit, it's like the light of a candle. When it comes out of the candle comes out of a protected, wind-protected or wind-sheltered place and is placed in the open, the winds will where are you? The winds will burn it out. So spiritual experiences is not to be told about. Therefore, you can see in Srila Prabhupada's life, he really rarely talks about it. Or the real, I'm not near a great devotee, but the great devotees, you don't hear them. And the small devotees, you hear them all the time talking about. So it is traditionally not done. And I can understand. It feels a little bit like letting all your clothes drop and standing naked before an audience, because it's the most personal thing, and one feels shy to be more in that very personal and vulnerable position before an audience. So with your, there are always ways for the nectar seeker. Ask Pujarini how you can drill out things from people, and she will give you tips. Hare Krishna. Nectar hunters have their own tools and so on. Good. Fine. A quick glance on the clock tells me this is our last question now, which is there. Yes, I don't see so far in the distance, but I have an idea. You were Draupadi, isn't it? Yes, Draupadi in the theater. Yes, I don't know your name, so Draupadi.
With Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Although
they may not know
about philosophy so much. Oh, yeah. This is a touchy question, and in touchy questions there is not always, this is the only possible answer, and all other answers are not true. What is your real name? Tell me, please.
Radha Govinda.
Radha Govinda? Oh, so good, the name. Radha Govinda. So, Radha Govinda. I will answer your question a little different, but you are now long in Krishna consciousness. You will be able to translate it into your thing. See, when we hear about Krishna, and that we will do tomorrow, that is called Leela, Krishna's pastimes, which come out of his own heart, his playfulness, his always surprising nature. No? If we hear about these pastimes, and we have not heard about what is called tattva, philosophical truth, we might think these pastimes are like our activities. So, therefore, it is good if we know a little bit about Krishna, and then his pastimes become, his human-like pastimes become even more relishable, because it's such a contradiction, you know, he's God, but he forgets that he is God and cries when his friends don't want to play with him. That is very nice. When you only know, well, he is a charming little boy, then that's not so nice. But if you know he's God, it begins, it takes on a huge and it takes on an extra dimension, and everything becomes even more relishable. I like this. Tomorrow we have an evening dedicated to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And I was once in Mayapur during a seminar of his where he talked about Krishna's pastime in such a way that made us aware that Krishna is God but also a charming lover. He said Krishna was with Srimati Radharani in her own house, where Radha was married to Abhimanyu. In that house, Krishna is visiting Radha, and they have amazing confidential pastimes. So somehow, Jatila is the daughter, the mother-in-law, and the mother of Radha's so-called husband, Abhimanyu, she finds out and she tiptoes to the room where she hears Radha and Krishna talking very intimately and pleasantly to each other. So she runs in and storms into the room to capture Krishna, you say, red-handed, bei frischer Tat ertappt, sagt man in Deutsch. And of course, Krishna, the master of all arts, disappears out of the room. How? It's Krishna. And here you begin to understand, Krishna has a very loving relationship to Radha, but at the same time, he can disappear from a room. That was wonderful. He's a mixture of his playfulness and his amazing potency to disappear and appear at will. So, but in his hurry, Krishna forgets his flute on the bed of Radha. And Krishna's flutes, my dear devotees, there are no flutes like this. Even Syamananda, our flute teacher, has boring flutes in comparison. That's not an offense, no? They are with jewels and they are really with Bentleys, in Schweizerdeutsch, and really, really amazing. Some are very long, some are very short. Krishna has a whole cupboard just full of flutes. It's a huge thing where that his various flutes are in there. So one of those flutes, which everyone knows in Vrindavan, is lying on the bed. And Jatila, although she cannot see Krishna has just disappeared in thin air, she sees the flute. So she takes the flute, runs on the marketplace, and makes a huge noise. Everyone come! I have just now discovered the greatest crime. The crown prince of Braj, the son of Nanda Maharaj, our king, was with my married daughter. And here is the flute. Everyone sees the flute. Yes, that's Krishna's flute. There is no doubt about it. So here is it true that Krishna breaks all the ethical principles? So at this moment, Krishna knows already that this must be cured. His energy is called Purnamasi, who is a white-haired, old lady, grand old lady. She has a saffron dress like a renunciant. It's very wise. Everyone follows her advice. Comes to the marketplace and asks, what is this agitation about? Oh, say the... You should talk to Jatila. So she goes to Jatila. Jatila, what is the agitation about? Ha, I have the flute. I found it when I ran into the house of, into the room where my daughter-in-law is, and Krishna was there, and she somehow escaped, but he forgot his flute. So Purnamasi knows this is now difficult. It's a parakya rasa must be maintained. So she says, you foolish lady, you always come with an unnatural explanation. This night, Bhakti Charu Maharaj said it in such this nice way, there was a flute shower in Vrindavan, and in on all beds, not just the beds of your daughter-in-law, but also on your bed, on other beds, there are these flutes because of the flute shower. This is the natural explanation, not your contorted explanation, your unnatural explanation. So all the Pushpasi, what was a flute shower? I didn't see a flute shower, but I was sleeping. And they all run and they go into the house, and yes, they find all my Purnamasi's and Krishna's Shakti. I mean, she is the Shakti of Krishna. They found, they all found flutes. So you can see, these things make Krishna's pastimes extraordinary. Who could arrange a flute shower? And still, I don't know, the flute shower, usually it comes down like this, but it must have come down like this, and then a little bit through the window, and then a little bit down again. This is an extraordinary shower, not to be found in this world. So then this makes it, you know, this, it's an enrichment of Aishwarya, which Aishwarya means Krishna's opulences, which belong to the philosophical category of of the tattva, the essential philosophical truth about him, make everything much more relishable. So if you only have lila and an overdose of lila, where you don't have also a mixture of this type of information, the lila tends to be ordinary for you and is not relishable and doesn't create a devotion in your heart. At best, entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's also nice to be entertained, but it's not what the full richness of the bhakti tradition. So both must be there. Yeah, and I know people come, you mean it on a simple level, I understand. They come to you and say, can you tell me what you experience in Krishna consciousness? What is your relation to this Krishna? Then you give some explanation that is relevant to their understanding. Now we are 10 minutes over time, and you must be hungry for your dinner prasadam. So please do take, and I think we continue at 8 o'clock with Badahari's kirtan. So please return. Thank you very much, and tomorrow 11 o'clock, tell your friends and the frogs which you, frogs, you know, frogs, the insects which you meet. It will be very special. Hare Krishna.